Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Entrepreneur Experiment. It's Monday, December 7th. That means it's Idea Lab. And we're going to talk about an area to invest in this week, something a little bit different. First, I want to thank you to everyone who entered the giveaway. We were very kindly did a giveaway with the Web Summit tickets, and it went really well. So if you're new, if you're a new listener from the Web Summit giveaway, welcome. What were people's thoughts on the Web Summit? I'm kind of curious to hear. I dipped in and out, to be honest. I always went to the Web Summit when it was in Dublin, every year. And when it went to Lisbon, not that I lost interest, but couldn't really afford to fly over there and go to the Web Summit. So I just kind of lost touch with it, I guess. But it just felt a bit strange. I don't know whether it was because I hadn't gone for a couple of years or because it was a digital version. I just struggled to connect with it, I think. I used to love the atmosphere. The atmosphere was the main thing for me. And it's just online. I just felt a bit distracted or something. It's probably more due to my own lack of focus. But I just found when I was sitting in front of the laptop, I was just kind of like just sitting there. And it's like, okay. It kind of felt like I was just watching a YouTube video or something. So I don't know, like the app was so slick. Everything about it was brilliant. I don't know if online events have that same impact. Now, hopefully they won't be going on for much too much longer because the COVID vaccine is hopefully coming. I think events like the Web Summit, part of the magic is meeting people there and having chats and having coffees and just the whole experience of it. I think that's almost as important. Actually, no, to be honest, for me, it's far more important than the actual speakers. The speakers are inspiring, but I think the whole experience is what it's all about. But still, thank you so much. A listener called Henry sorted us out with the tickets. So thank you so much, Henry. Massively appreciate that. So going to start off with a couple of updates today. My studio, such as it is, I'm going to revamp it because number one, I want to improve the audio quality because if you're watching on YouTube, I'm filming on a very small Canon G7X and I actually have a Sony A7 Mark III and I'm not using it for the YouTube, and I should be, because I should be. Simple as that. And I'm going to revamp it. I'm going to revamp the studio. If you're listening to this podcast on audio level, well, stay with me for a minute. I'm just going to do a slight detour. My YouTube studio is quite good. I've got a light in front of me here. I've got the camera in front of me here. I've got the good audio equipment, but I think the audio versus the actual image quality could be a lot better. So I'm going to revamp it. What should I do? If you're watching YouTube or you're listening, go over to YouTube and have a little look at the studio. Tell me what I should do. How should I change it up? It's quite simple. It's just got some shelving behind me with books, a couple of mics that I'm not using, a couple of pictures. So what should I put in? Let me know. Also, I need some feedback. I'm looking at 2021 now. I'm doing all my planning for 2021 now. On that, I'm actually going to do a special Idea Lab or a special extended episode of The Entrepreneur Experiment. I haven't decided which on the planning. The feedback on the Jamie Heaslip episode was absolutely massive, and it primarily revolved around planning, around how Jamie plans and how he approaches different things. So I've actually done this for myself. I've actually taken a leaf out of Jamie's book. So I've done a 10-year plan, 5-year plan, 3-year plan, 1-year plan, and monthly plans and quarterly plans. Now, they're all not finished. They're work in progress. You should never rush planning, but would you like a whole episode on that? Would you like an episode as to how I've learned how to plan over the years? I can take some of the gems from Jamie's episode and some of the gems from other entrepreneurs who've been on the show and put them all together into one massive planning episode. I kind of think with 2021 coming up, it's going to be a massive year for us all. And it's always good to start the year with a plan and with a renewed focus, and kind of gives you that bit of energy moving into the year. So if you would like that, let me know. Let me know if you want it to be a 10-minute Idea Lab, or let me know if you want it to be an hour-long episode, and we'll make it happen. Because next couple of weeks are going to be a little bit strange coming into Christmas. Listenership is always a bit up and down because people have, you know, they're out and about and they're having fun. Well, hopefully you're having fun and you're out and about. So let me know what you want. We'll kind of keep that going. We've a couple of great guests lined up for the end of the year as well. I'm also looking at 2021 guests. I've started reaching out to people. Want 2021 to be 5 times bigger than the pod has been this year. So let me know who you would like me to have on. Sorry, I realized I was leaning back from the mic there. I was getting so excited. I was leaning way back from the mic. Also, one last question for you. When do you listen to your podcasts? As in, I release now on a Monday and Thursday. Monday Idea Lab, Thursday for the main interview. does that work? Is that a good cadence for people? When do you listen to your podcast? What day of the week do you listen to your podcast? Let me know if there's like a better release day. Sorry, excuse me for the dog. One second, if I can grab him. So let me know if there's a better release day that you would like. I think people listen whenever they listen, so probably doesn't matter too much. So today, on with the show, we're going to talk about, drum roll please, collectibles and souvenirs. That sounds quite boring, but it's not. This is an area of kind of just one of those trends I've kind of seen cropping up again and again and again and again and again and again. Disclaimer, I'm not an expert here. This is information I've kind of collected over the last kind of year as I'm kind of starting to look into that area last year. I did run a very small experiment with this last year when I was kind of starting to think about this area as something that could make some money for me as a little sideline hustle or as an investment long term. Only in the last 2 years have I started investing properly. I've invested in cryptocurrency, I've invested in shares and a pension. So three different areas, and property as well, but that's quite separate. So they're the three things I've invested in. And I think this area could be a nice little sideline as well in terms of it's interesting. It's a little bit less boring than just whacking it into the credit union. So I did a little experiment last year. Went to a couple of car boot sales, bought up some like classic toys, some wrestlers. I have no idea about wrestling, so it was a bit of a shot in the dark. Bought them for like, I think it was, 20 quid. Sold them for about 250, 250 euro. So there is a massive markup on toys and on classic and just tapping into people's nostalgia. So I've seen this cropping up again and again. If you're on the newsletter, you'll get a very detailed breakdown of what I'm going to talk about. So like when we think of collecting and souvenirs and stuff, we think of generally, you know, art, kind of high-end stuff, you know, like high-end art. Oh, so-and-so spent 250k on a painting. Obviously, that's not the level I'm at. I think it's not the level most people are at. But there's all sorts of cool side things that you can invest in. They're not side things, just alternate areas that are kind of becoming more and more popular and more accessible. So the areas I think you should look at are, I'll go in reverse order because I've written them in a different way in the newsletter, but I want to talk about the last one in a bit more detail. Sports souvenirs. So they're becoming massive business in terms of one-offs of, you know, a pair of Michael Jordan sneakers sold for $560,000. It was one of the original pairs of the Air Jordans. He'd played a game in them and signed them, and they're worth $560,000 now. So like there is massive markup on this stuff. Now they have to be unique, you know. I think there's smaller money in the limited edition stuff, but they have to be unique. If they're, the lower the number and the lower amount of them there is in the world, the more value there is. Obviously that's just basic economics, supply and demand. But sneakers and sports souvenirs seem to be two areas that are absolutely exploding. There's a great article, I linked to it in the newsletter, about this 17-year-old kid who lives in London, and he's making between 5 and 20 grand sterling per week. Per week. Capitals, exclamation mark, insert there. Crazy. He's just buying up these limited edition sneakers and then reselling them. So he flies all over the world and delivering them to high-end buyers. A lot of his buyers are celebrities. A lot of his buyers are high-end millionaires. So like there's little niches that people are making quite a lot of money in. So toys is the one I talked about already. I think that's a very easy one to start in, you know, especially if you have an interest in them. I had no interest in wrestlers, but like let's say it was football stickers or anything to do with football, I'd have a massive interest in and some sort of level of knowledge. If you have a base knowledge in something, I think it's a good area to start in. And then there's a new area, digital collectibles. So as the blockchain becomes more advanced and you can authenticate certain things online, you know, I think it'll be more common to have a digital collectible, so like a one-off. So you think of gamers, you know, they buy skins for their guns, they buy different characters. I think that area is going to be quite big. But again, that's very new, so probably not one to dabble into just yet. And then the final one I want to talk about is whiskey. So my wife is actually the person who introduced me to this. She is a whiskey collector. I never even knew that was a thing. So all the time we're going out, she's been picking up these limited edition bottles. She's an extensive like knowledge of this area. She works in that area, so she's a huge interest and knowledge of the area. So that's a key factor here in whatever you decide to collect. You know, you can go into a new area and then learn all that knowledge, but it will take time. Or you can get someone, you can pay an expert to help you. But like, yeah, she collects whiskey. And over the years, she's collected like limited edition. And it's something, it's not going to be a massive payoff in the short term. You know, it's not like Bitcoin, but over time, it appreciates a lot. So I've been doing a little bit of digging. I went on to the Celtic Whiskey Shop here in Dublin, and a 1973 Middleton whiskey will set you back $5,000. So the bottle of whiskey will set you back $5,000. And there's a 2020 edition of Middleton, which has just come out, literally just come out in the last couple of weeks. It's already sold out all across Ireland, and it's now going for resale at 50 to 60 quid higher than it was. It was going for sale for between 160 and 180, depending on where you bought it. And it's now online for sale for 250, 230. So immediately, in a few weeks, you'd have 50 quid markup. Now, the plan, I think, with whiskey is not to be buying and selling it that quickly. I think the plan is to buy it and hold it. So it's something you're not going to get a massive return on. You have to be able to afford to spend a bit of money to build it up. But I also think there's massive business around it. So this is the Ideas Lab. I want to give you more than one idea. So I think there's a massive industry all around collectibles and souvenirs. And I think that's something we could definitely look at in 2021. Because it's a new area. This is new. Like in the States, this is quite a common thing. Like Gary Vee has been banging. Gary Vaynerchuk's been banging this drum for years. He's been buying up millions and millions of euros worth of sports cards and sports collectibles. I'm like, these guys know what they're talking about. You know, they generally do. And in the last year, I'm just seeing it popping up again and again. Like a lot of the podcasts I listen to, it keeps coming up again and again and again. My First Million keep talking about it again and again. And there's all sorts of industries around souvenirs and collectibles. And the one I think is interesting is authentication. Because it's not like, you know, an Apple laptop is an Apple laptop. I'm pointing to it here on my right. Like, that is what it is, okay? It's a 20, I don't even know what version this is, 2015, say, Apple MacBook. That kind of is what it is. Whereas with a collectible, it might have been released in, like, 1973. You know, how many of them are there? You know, is it an original? The biggest problem in this area is fraud and counterfeits and fakes. That's the biggest problem in this area, is people passing off stuff because it's hard to authenticate. It's hard to go, yes, that is a 1973, I can't even think of an example, George Best limited edition playing card. That is only one of 1,000 that were made. We estimate that maybe there's 100 left in circulation. This is worth now 10,000 euros. I think that's the area. If I was going to start a business in this, the marketplace business, there's loads of auction sites and there's loads of places to sell and buy. I think that the niche here could be in the authentication, being the middleman. The art of good business is being a good middleman, as Layer Cake would say. One of my favorite movies of all time. Rewatched it recently. It's such a classic. But like, there's all these sites popping up around this. Collectors Universe, which is based in the States, recently sold for 700 million euro. Sorry, dollars, because in the States. 700 million to a hedge fund investor. What they do is they do authentication. They do exactly what I talked about there. But when you think of it over here in Ireland and the UK, you think of generally, you know, kind of old stuff like art auctions and property auctions and cattle auctions. You think of kind of old. You think of kind of like crusty, stale, whereas like sneakers and sports memorabilia and all that kind of stuff. If you could make it sexy and make it simple, the two keys, make it sexy, make it simple, and provide a layer of trust, I think it could be a massive opportunity for people here in Ireland to start their kind of building up. Like the GAA is a huge history. There's bound to be a lot of medals, a lot of like limited edition autographed stuff that's not really floating around that much anymore. So I think we're quite close to the UK as well. So you obviously have all the UK premiership teams and football teams and stuff like that. But like, it's not small business. This is not a small business. The StockX sell limited edition things. It's a website. It's worth going on to. It's really interesting. And they're valued at $1 billion. So they're basically an online marketplace for limited edition collectibles and souvenirs, valued at $1 billion. There's a website called GOAT. It specializes just in sneakers, runners, whatever you want to call them. And it's extremely popular. Like these are incredibly, incredibly popular. A friend of mine reached out to me recently and he's like, oh, I started buying and selling trainers now and I'm making a couple hundred euro. So there is a little area there. I can't give you the exact specification of what to go off and start, but I think somewhere in the middle, somewhere in the authentication space or the sourcing space, you could just literally probably have a one-man band being a sourcer of hard to reach limited edition stuff. I thought about this as a concierge service, actually. whereby you go to collectors and you can go, oh, you're looking to collect this. Oh, I'll go source that for you and just charge them like 10 or 20% percentage on whatever the final sales price is. That's quite a common thing in the art world. People will go and they'll act as finders, as sourcers, concierges, whatever you want to call it. So there's something there as well that you could also, and that, the cost to start that are zero. That it costs, there's no overheads. You literally go and you act as the middleman. You go and you source it. All this takes is your time. That's it for today. We talked about souvenirs and collectibles. I hope you enjoyed that. Thursday, I'm going to do a very special episode of the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast. It is with me. I'm going to do, Airbnb are going to float this week. So they're going to IPO on the stock market this week. I've worked in Airbnb, not in Airbnb. I worked around the Airbnb platform. I have my own business, which is based on the Airbnb platform for the last 5-6 years. I have extensive knowledge of Airbnb. I'm going to give a breakdown of what I think about the IPO. Is it a good business? Is it not a good business? Is it overpriced? Is it underpriced? What I think about it. I'm going to give you a full breakdown of how Airbnb works. Is it a great platform? Is it a horrible platform? I think it's very misunderstood. I think a lot of people know about Airbnb, but don't know the ins and outs. It's very early stages for Airbnb. I won't ruin it, but it's worth tuning in Thursday for a little bit of an insider scoop. What the Airbnb float is going to be all about. I will see you this Thursday. Thank you very much for listening to Idea Lab. Out a little bit later this week, but we're all busy. I'll see you Thursday.